I'm Derek Joyce and I'm here with Paul O'Morda, and this is I'm Not the Expert But. This is a podcast where we discuss everything from the most complicated things that we know nothing about to the simplest things that we also know nothing about. So sit back, grab a cup of tea and join us.
Second episode of In Tebs, Believe It or Don't. I don't give a fuck.
Weirdest title of an episode we have.
Longest title of an episode. But you know, it works for me.
In Tebs, Believe It or Fuck Off.
No. I like my title better.
Who wants to go first?
Sorry?
Who wants to go first? Go on.
Just jump in.
Right, okay. Did you know?
start there.
Bees can fly higher than Mount Everest.
No, I didn't.
There you go now.
They can survive higher.
No, they can fly higher. Right?
So they can start from 0 feet and go all the way
from sea level and go all the way.
29,525
feet above sea level, according to National Geographic. That's higher than Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. There you go.
Okay.
That's mad.
How tall is 8,800 and... I think it's 48 meters.
Meters, yeah, for those of you in metric. Yeah.
I don't do conversions to feet.
How many elephants is that?
How many, yeah.
How many giraffes?
Okay. And else?
No, go on, you go next.
Okay.
Go on, yeah.
This is, I'm starting in the brightest, shiniest, most non-lethal place I can.
Shiny, happy Dell, okay.
Actually, no, I'm not. I'm starting really dark.
Okay, right. Well,
okay. Diving suits. You know those diving suits that you have the big copper looking helmet?
Like the old Victorian diving suits. Yeah.
Well, they use them in World War II.
That's right, yeah.
And like, I mean, they probably still use a variation of them. They've got a love. I mean, wouldn't they go?
I know they were using them up to the 60s. Stuff. If you've ever seen that film, Men of Honor, have you seen that film?
Yeah. Isn't that the one with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
It is.
That's fantastic. Bob De Niro. And De Niro.
Amazing movie.
Yeah, it's very good. Great movie.
But he's wearing one of those suits and that's set in the 60s, 40s, I think, isn't it?
World War II.
Set in the 40s.
That's World War II.
Oh, it is.
He was a master diver. Yes. And he lost his leg, apparently, saving crewmates or something like that. To get recertified as a master diver, he had to go to... You've seen the film.
Yeah, he had to walk. That's all true, apparently. No, it is a true story, yeah.
True story without Brian Dennehy in it.
Brian Dennehy? Oh, he's a lawyer in it or something, isn't he?
Brian Dennehy?
Yeah.
Is he?
Isn't he?
Oh, man, I'd be pissed off every fucking...
Oh, you were slagging saying it.
Every true story without Brian Dennehy.
I'm sure he's in that movie.
He probably
He's in a
is.
Suit. I can see him in a suit and tie. Definitely.
But anyway. Definitely.
Right, go on. Sorry.
They've been used as far back as the 18th century, right?
As I just said, yeah.
The first diving suits were designed in 1710 and 1715.
Wow.
In 1710. But they obviously didn't have the fucking shite. The technology to kind of get them to work properly.
Yeah.
Like the pumping air down would be manned.
Yeah.
You know that? Yeah. So that wouldn't work. That wasn't like a consistent way of doing it. Yeah.
The big cable, the big tube.
Yeah. So in 1715, a guy called John Lethbridge, an English inventor, designed the first enclosed suit with a pressurized air-filled barrel and a viewing hole. So it would be a barrel down from the top into the top of the helmet and it would just... pump in air.
Okay.
In 1797 in Poland, Karl Heinrich Klingert developed a full body suit with a metal girdle and pants and vest made of waterproof leather. So it was getting better and better and better and better and all that kind of thing. With the use of a pump turret, air could be supplied to the diver from the surface via a weighted tube. So your tube will be weighted and dragged behind you so as not to kind of float away or get interfered with by the current and shit like that.
And get ripped or torn or entangled and, yeah.
This is so good. Over the decades, and I'm reading this because I couldn't paraphrase what I read better than what being dead fucking daily.
Okay, go ahead.
Over the decades, improvements were made. Articulated limbs were added, weighted boots were added, and sometimes 1,000-watt lights were fixed onto the shoulders so they'd light the surface area of where they needed to work.
Deadly.
Okay? Originally, the diving helmet that you're thinking of in your head, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, the brass one with the kind of circular viewing port with a kind of a grid over of brass bars.
That was invented, that was designed by a guy named Charles Dean in 1823.
Okay.
But it wasn't for diving.
Oh.
It was a fireman's fully enclosed helmet.
Okay, right.
Firemen weren't too hot on the idea of wearing something that heated up.
And that heavy
like a
as
fucking
well.
Kettle and that heavy. But the thing was made of fucking
brass,
or whatever it was. But going into a fire and it fucking just absorb heat.
Yeah, you'd be cooked.
So they were like,
no,
I don't fucking think so.
That's mad.
So to save his investment, he approached the Navy and it was repurposed as a diving helmet.
Yeah.
And that's how he kind of got it back. So he designed it for the wrong intents and purposes, like coming from the wrong place, going to the wrong place.
But he found use for it.
He ended up somewhere. Yeah. The dangers first savage divers who used that helmet was huge. One in particular was known as the squeeze.
Right.
Okay.
Something to do with pressure.
Yeah. I'm laughing at Paul. Yes. And you're not wrong. When surface pumps failed, as they did sometimes, there'd be a catastrophic loss of pressure in the suit. When there was a catastrophic loss of pressure in the suit, the air would leave the suit with such force that the diver, along with all of the air, would be sucked into the helmet and the pipe. When the diver was dragged back to the surface, all that was left in the suit were his bones and some flesh.
Oh, Christ.
That's deadly.
I thought you were going to say, like, the fucking suit contracted under the pressure and kind of...
Well, I'm sure it would, but he got sucked up into the
suit. Jesus, fuck me. That's mad.
That's the challenge. That's
or
not
the sea
the challenge.
Is a harsh
mistress. That's the risk they took.
Yeah, the sea is a harsh mistress.
That's fucking, it's nothing to do with the fucking sea. It's dealing with the pipes pumping air in that failed.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, you know, if you're at that depth, you know what I mean, and anything goes wrong, it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
It's not a fucking pretty death, you know.
Yeah, you are finished.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. Bright and breezy.
That's it. Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, staying with the sea. Blue whales eat 500,000 calories in every mouthful.
Fucking mad, isn't it?
Yeah. 500,000 calories,
Half a million calories of that fucking...
Take a few hours in the gym to burn that off, wouldn't it?
That tiny fucking what?
Krill. Krill is the word for it. Which is like an algae. It's, you know, it's a microorganism. And here's one for you. Right, that 500,000 calories is 240 times the energy that the whale uses to take that mouthful.
Wow.
So it's a 240% fucking profit on energy.
Yeah.
If you know what
I mean. Well worth it.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. So there you go, That's a mad one. I'm going to throw another really quick one in.
Yeah, go for it.
Right. Turkeys can blush.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
Fuck that.
When turkeys are scared or excited, like when the male sees the female they're interested in, the pale skin on their head and neck turns a bright red, blue or white.
Right? Blue?
Yeah.
My ears go blue when it gets cold.
Yes, it does.
That's me blushing.
Black nearly. Black.
Okay. Yeah, well.
I would say, yeah. But so there you go, The pale skin on their head turns bright red, blue or white.
What do you call a collection of turkeys?
Gaggle, is it? No.
Nope, that's geese.
It's mad. Like it's a fucking chaos of turkeys or something, isn't it?
Nope.
Something along those lines, no? Right, go on.
A rafter of turkeys.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. In 1998, this guy called Bill Morgan, an Australian, had a massive heart attack and was clinically dead for 14 minutes.
14 minutes?
14 minutes.
Jesus.
He recovered, thankfully. And about a year later, he bought himself a lottery scratch card. You know those
doodads? Yeah, yeah.
Lottery scratch card. And won 30K.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, fucking class. He was contacted by a local TV station and agreed to reenact his win for the camera. So he bought another scratch card. He won 250 grand on it.
No way. That's
he was
mad.
Quoted as saying, after scratching it, and there's a video of him on YouTube, like you can fucking watch this.
Deadly. There's throw a link up on the Facebook.
Yeah, I do. There was a video of him, he was quoted as saying, I've just won 250 grand. I'm not joking. And I think I'll have another heart attack. No fucking deadly. That's the nicest thing in the world. Like, yeah, fucking fair play, buddy.
Fair play, definitely. Love
I
that.
I think that's great.
Love that. I'd say the fucking TV company loved it as well, though.
You know, that's prime.
We reenact
prime
it and then he wins a fucking
it's their
three
footage.
Times the amount. Like, yeah.
It's their footage that I watched on YouTube.
Of him actually winning the 250
grand. It's just something that the algorithm threw up and I saw.
That's mad. Speaking of algorithms and all, and I know we don't like doing ads and all that, but we've set up a TikTok, just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
We're now on TikTok. You can see animated versions of myself and Del. So, which just I love. And I have to say, Del done all the animation himself and they're absolutely fucking deadly. They're so cool, like.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So you can see animated versions of myself and Del talking clips from the podcast on TikTok. So
check
give
it
us
out,
an follow
TikTok.
There.
Who are we on TikTok?
I'm Not the Expert Book podcast or INTEB podcast.
Okay.
You'll find us.
Cool.
You'll find
us.
We're there. Anyway, right. So it is suggested that 136 billion sheets of A4 paper, that's billion with a B, by the way, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Sheets of A4 paper would be needed to print out the entirety of the World Wide Web. So the whole internet, right? 136 billion sheets of A4 paper. I'm assuming that's with normal 12-point.
Font.
Font, yeah. Right. If the printouts were piled up, the stack would be taller than the planet.
Than the planet.
Yes.
Fucking hell.
Than Earth.
That'd be increasing every day as well. Every hour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It is exponential, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that.
There you go. So, yeah. The internet's big. It's not a little box with a red light on it. Joy D. Crowds.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
that's
that
so
show.
Good. Yeah. It's fucking show. Hilarious. Apparently, on January the 1st, 1892, the first person to be processed at Ellis Island was a 15-year-old girl from Queenstown, which is now Cove.
Yeah, that's right.
Called Annie Moore.
Annie Moore.
Yeah, Annie Moore. She travelled to the US on board the SS Nevada, with her two younger brothers. And she was the first to disembark.
Yeah, that's
so
right,
she was the first to get down the gangplank.
Yeah.
Ahead of our two younger brothers and all the people that were on the boat with her just let the kids go first.
That was it. Anymore, yeah. They gave her the freedom in New York or something eventually, years later. They had a big celebration for her, I think. Now, I could be wrong and I definitely have to look it up, but I think she lived to be 100 or something like that and they threw her a huge fucking party and they gave her the freedom of the city. Yeah. I remember fucking saying
what does the freedom of anything like that mean?
It means you can herd your sheep down Main Street at any time of the day.
It doesn't mean you can go in anywhere you want?
No. It just means you can herd your sheep down Main Street. It's a symbolic award.
Yeah,
it's a key to the city.
It's symbolics. That's what it is.
It's from the old days of walled cities and they would give you the key to the city, you know, so you could come in and out as you pleased, you know?
Yeah.
Right, anyway, those crazy North Koreans are at it again, Del. Right? The packaging problem of round fruit can be solved by making them square. Right? In Korea, some apples are grown in plastic molds, so they take on like a cube shape. As opposed
now,
to a
that's,
sphere.
Now, that's not just the Koreans.
Okay.
I've seen that in Germany.
Have you?
Where they had, Japan, where they had watermelon on sale and it was cube.
That's nuts.
And it tastes like shit.
I'd say so,
yeah. Because yeah. it was grown in what a plastic you're saying, in
fucking
yeah.
tub, like.
Yeah, but it tasted like shit, so it wasn't very successful. So
no, well, there you can't go. Blame well, they the do it Koreans in alone. Korea, so there you go. Yeah.
Just leave shit alone. If it's round, fucking grow it round. Okay, 5 second fact.
Okay.
Lemons float in water, but limes sink.
Okay.
I have nothing else. There you go. Lemons float on water, limes sink.
I'll have to. Now, that's a whole lemon and a whole lime, I assume you mean. Could you put a slice of lime in your drink? It doesn't fucking sink, floats.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yeah, I always put lime in beer.
It sinks deeper than lemon will. It might sink to the bottom, okay. but it sinks deeper than lemon will.
That's cool.
And it's down to density.
Yeah. Yeah, limes are denser.
Limes are just...
Even to touch, they
more
are
more stupid.
Like, I much prefer limes.
They're much nicer. Yeah. Yeah, right. But there you go.
Right. It is estimated that the typical pencil has enough graphite to draw a lion 56 kilometres long, or 20 times the length of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge.
That's what I said, did I?
All right. Wouldn't that be depending on what the surface was?
Yeah, that's very true, actually. Yes. Yeah.
You try drawing, what, 56 kilometres?
On sandpaper. See how far you get.
On fucking tarmac at them.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Totally agree. There you
go. On that anti-skid road surface thing they've got.
And not only that, like, I mean, is that a HB pencil or a B pencil or a 3B or, you know, or a H pencil will probably go even further, you know, the harder the... Yeah, that's a nonsense fact. I'm fucking that one out there.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for debunking that one, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're the myth butters.
If you bought the myth busters on Wish, yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You said we're the Mythbusters, and I said, yeah, if you bought the Mythbusters on Wish.
All right.
And then I made a joke about advertising,
okay. Okay, we're just lower quality.
Yeah, less there are other low...
Less scientific value. Yeah.
There are other low quality Chinese shopping sites available. Okay.
You're fucking having a go off everybody on the Orient, aren't you?
Yeah,
here come the Koreans. They're not the fucking Chinese.
Come on, those crazy North Koreans. They are crazy North Koreans. Well, their leadership are anyway.
Yeah, so Paul said that. Go whack him, leave me alone. In the off-season, professional baseball and football players used to perform on the vaudeville circuit to pay bills.
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
Now, do refresh me. I've heard the term vaudeville. I know it's got something to do with theatre. What exactly is it?
You know those guys that have the kind of flat cap?
Yeah, the kind
the
of...
Flat the flat-rimmed cap. Fucking
pie boxes or something they're called.
Yeah, the hat.
Yeah.
And they'd
pork
have...
Pies. They'd pork have, pies, they're called.
Yeah. And they'd have the waistcoats, the red and white striped waist.
Yeah.
And they'd sing and... Not sing and dance choreography, but they'd have the very... Very basic moves, all in unison.
Yes.
And they're singing in, obviously, they're singing in some sort of harmonies or something like that.
Yeah, and they're singing like Candy Shop.
Yeah.
So that's vaudeville, is it?
Yeah, vaudeville. Okay. Yeah, so professional baseball players and football players just to fucking make ends meet. Because they only play half of the year. They play for the sports season.
American sports seasons are very short.
Yeah.
Very short.
And
the
but
they
pay
ridiculous
so bad.
Amounts of games, though.
Yeah,
like, but they play 5 nights a week.
The pay was so bad.
I know, it's ironic now, isn't
it? Yeah. Can't say full circle because the pay is much better.
Yeah, it's complete multi-millionaires. Multi-millionaires.
But
you know?
The 1949 musical with Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," has a whole new meaning now.
Take me out to the ball game.
Yeah. Didn't we fucking sing a version of that in 10 Cent Beer Night?
We probably did. We probably did. Right. Oh, I love this one. The most forceful roller coaster in the world is the Tower of Terror at Golden Reef City in Johannesburg, South Africa. At the bottom of the ride's huge drop, people experience a G-force of 6.3 Gs, twice the G-force of a space shuttle launch.
Fuck that.
Wow. Wow. And I know from speaking to Chris Hadfield when I was lucky enough to meet him at a book signing, and he was telling me that It's really shaky, like, on the launch. It's not a smooth fucking journey into space.
I would say it is.
That whole thing is shaking around like fuck up there, you know? It's a bone rattler.
Yeah. What was it they said in fucking that atrocious movie, Armageddon?
Oh, that's not bad.
It's made by the second cheapest bidder. Shibashimi says, it's comfort to know that everything we're on now has been made by the second cheapest bidder. I'd still like to do it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I'd like to go to
get me off this fucking planet.
I'd like to go to Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
In 2011, McDonald's attempted to entice kids to eat healthier by halving portions of fries in their Happy Meals. And they added the option that you could have fruit as well.
And stuff, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
One of the things that didn't make it to market, didn't make it past the testing phase,
right,
was broccoli-flavoured bubblegum.
Ugh.
Yeah. They're fucking...
Like, why?
Yeah, they're focus groups, which are made up of kids.
Exactly Willy
and
Wonka,
those that would eat fucking Happy Meals were said to be confused. I mean, can you imagine being here's a Happy Meal and then being confused at the end of it? Fucking broccoli flavoured bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
Yeah.
It must have been made by Slugwort. It definitely wasn't made by Willy Wonka anyway.
It's fucking...
Right. It's turning me stunned. I don't mind a bit of broccoli.
I love broccoli, but
broccoli
I don't
want... Broccoli flavoured chewing gum.
Yeah,
Jesus,
no. Fucking, I love broccoli, but no. Holy keep shit. Your chewing gum.
Right, if you dug a hole, right... It would take you 19 minutes to fall from the North Pole to the Earth's core.
Oh, you've read that before.
That's really good. Yeah. 19 minutes. Yeah. That's a long way down.
Yeah.
That's a long way fucking down.
Can you imagine the fucking heat and the gravity, the G-force?
I'd imagine your heart would give out probably long before you got there. Like, at least I would hope so. Although, as they say, it's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop.
In this case, I think it'd be the fall.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. But so it's... Yeah, 19 minutes at terminal velocity. Now, I know we have a few knitters who listen in regularly, Del.
Do we?
We do, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have a couple. Anyway, so here's one for them. Every 4 minutes and 12 seconds, enough wool is produced around the world to make a jumper big enough for the Statue of Liberty to wear.
Fucking hell.
Now, why the Statue of Liberty would want to wear a jumper?
It's cold out there.
Well, that's true, yeah.
It's cold at that fucking altitude as well, isn't it?
That's very true, actually, yeah. But, yeah, so a jumper big enough for the Statue of Liberty.
Fucking hell. Is that worldwide, like?
Yeah. But they should do that. They should actually make jumpers for the Statue of Liberty. You know, Christmas jumpers.
No, I don't think so.
Crazy looking jumper. Your nanny knits you.
I think it'd be much, much better to have a projection.
Yeah.
Of something it'd be much more 21st century.
It's funny you mentioned that. Have you seen what they've done with the Empire State Building fairly recently? I don't know why they've done it. Like, there's no anniversary or anything, but they've been projecting Star Wars stuff onto the Empire State Building.
Because it's Empire, you know.
All Darth Vader, the Emperor,
and
Darth Maul was on it. Fantastically, fabulous look.
When was this?
There about 2 weeks ago.
I didn't see anything on that.
Like mad viral on Twitter. But I couldn't find anywhere why they had done it. Like, you know, it was 4th of May or something, I'd understand. You know, made a 4th of May and all that, I'd understand. But it just seems just so random, like. And there's no new Star Wars coming out, so it's not like a promotion. They just did it because they could, I suppose.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. It might have been something to do with the Empire State's anniversary or something. I don't know. But yeah, they've got Darth Vader.
No one dying to know why.
Yeah, no, I googled it. I couldn't find out why. Or nobody seems to know why.
Fucking shite.
It just seemed to have been done just to...
Yeah.
I don't know. And speaking of which, as well, while we're on Star Wars, and this is not really one for the podcast, but sure, look, we're having a chat. We might as well have a chat. Did you see Episode 1 is back in cinemas next week? Or not next week, the week after.
God.
Next. I know. Look, it's not a great movie. It's really not a great movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's pretty bad. I still went to see it 13 times in the cinema.
I saw it once.
Because it was new Star Wars.
I saw it once and then when it came on to TV, I'd watch it on TV to the point where I go, oh, geez, I don't know, but I fucking leave.
It got away with so much, you know, ill because it was the first Star Wars in 20 years. You know what I mean? It was new Star Wars and we lapped it up at the time. in hindsight, it's gone right down, like, you know, in estimation. Awful. But as I was saying, I seen it 13 times in the cinema when it came out in 1999.
So what about the other ones? Through the other ones.
Yeah, no, I will, but I've...
No, I mean, go through the other ones. Tell me how many times you saw them.
Oh, I don't know. Jesus. Attack of the Clones, probably around the same. See, I will give full disclosure here. I worked in the cinema. At the time, it didn't cost me anything to go and see it.
Yeah,
so I could see it at my leisure on my days off. Phantom Menace was 13. I always remember that for some reason. That was 13. Yeah. The others, not so much. But I might go and see it 7 more times now when it comes out. Just to get to the 20. Crap. No.
Terrible.
No, I won't be getting it for free, so no. I probably won't do that.
Okay.
But I am going to bring the kids. The kids never got to see it.
How many times... What was the third one called? The Revenge of the Sith.
That's
right. The Revenge
right.
of the Shit.
Do you know, I actually never saw that in the cinema. Believe it or not.
What?
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, what? You've never seen it
in the cinema? I never got to see it in the cinema. I can't actually remember why at the time. But I just remember really early on in its run getting a pirate copy of the DVD. And then I think it was just a case of like not spending the money to go to cinema once I had that.
And
which
was
is
a good,
pirate
like, was
it
good
I was
copy?
A terrible copy
right, okay.
It was a fucking, you know, the old school when you buy in the fucking Fairy House Market, like,
that's what I was thinking.
It was dog shite. But yeah, I never saw that one in the cinema. I remember walking out of Attack of the Clones on opening night and saying that is the greatest movie I have ever seen.
Okay.
And now it's probably the worst.
That's really worrying.
It's probably the worst of the worst of the 9 movies. So that's, you know, that says it all, doesn't it? It was just because it was new. It was new Star Wars. We never thought we were ever going to get new Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it was new Star Wars. And it was enough, you know. And there was lightsabers and there was blasters and there was
That was
speeders.
Always the attraction. There's fucking lightsabers that's gone deadly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they dined out on.
Oh, they did. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, yeah.
Well, come here. I'm going to be really controversial here. I love the fucking sequels. I really love the sequels.
Sequels...
The newest ones.
In the 789.
Yeah, I love them. Absolutely love them. Last Jedi was a bit meh, but the other two I loved. Absolutely loved. But anyway, there you go.
I'm
one of the very few.
The Force Awakens.
Was a great film.
I really enjoyed it. I went to see that with my brother.
And do you know why I loved that movie so much?
Why?
Because it was a return to what I envisioned as Star Wars. You know, whereas the fucking prequels... didn't look like Star Wars, didn't feel like Star Wars. You had these skinny battle droids instead of stormtroopers. Everything was all like,
I think they
palatial and regal. And
I think in the prequels, they tried to get away from
the aesthetic.
What Star Wars was.
Yeah.
They tried to take it in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they failed.
It's much loved.
I thought they were. And it is
much love,
Jesus,
you know.
It wasn't fucking Star Wars.
No, it just felt so different. Whereas, you know, The Force Awakens was like a return to an old friend. It really was, like.
Now, I went to see it with my brother, as I said. And when that big yellow writing came up on screen and the music started.
Cinema
I
just
felt
erupted.
Like I was 8 years old again.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like.
Yeah.
And it really felt like, wow.
Yeah.
Fucking
it's
home.
Back, like, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and that's why I want to go and see it in the cinema again. But I suppose my best experience actually of the whole lot was the Rise of Skywalker, the last one, episode 9.
Right.
That was the first time me two boys were old enough to come to the midnight show with me on opening night.
Okay,
so we got dressed up, we went in our fancy dress and the whole lot, and we went on opening night. The whole family went, everyone went, all bar, I think Rosie stayed. I think Lisa and Rosie didn't go. So it was myself, the boys, Alicia, all went. And we were fucking cheering. We were crying. We were fucking hollering. We were like, it was fucking awesome. I love opening night because it's not... Now, like, it is respectful, don't get me wrong. And it is quiet when you're watching it. But like, when something really cool happens, people clap. People cheer. You know?
I don't
and
understand
I love that.
That.
It's just letting your emotion out. It's not like you're not applauding the fucking players on the screen. It's not like applauding the fucking players on the screen. It's just an emotional release. Like, you're letting your emotions go as opposed to keeping them in check so as not to disturb the people around you, kind of thing. So it's just a much more natural experience when you're like in a packed cinema with fans of a franchise, like, you know, proper fans of a franchise, not just your casual cinema goer. Because who else is going to the cinema at midnight on opening night? You know what I mean? It's fans. And it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's dressed up. It's, love it.
I'm the guy that sits in the theatre and is, would you shut the fuck up?
Absolutely. Ordinary. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Like, I'll never forget we went to see, oh God, what was that? Fuck, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Right? Now we went, it was 8 o'clock at night. It wasn't a fucking daytime and it was midweek. Right? And it was me, Lisa, I think we had some of the kids with us. Right? And there was, we were the only ones in the cinema bar, a young couple with a newborn baby. Like, literally a tiny baby in arms, crying. They left after about 20 minutes and I've never been so relieved in my life.
That's fucking hilarious.
You know? Now, in fairness to them, they did kind of say, hang on, this baby's not stopping. We better leave.
you know? Not stopping. Yeah. As opposed to this baby's starting.
I know, yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
20 minutes of just baby screaming while you're watching the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But who brings a newborn baby to a cinema? I'm sorry, like.
That's hilarious.
You know?
Like, if I went to a film, whatever it was, and there was, I went in, you know, you walk in, it's low lighting and everyone's getting ready for the movie and all that kind of thing. And I spied a couple with a baby. I'd turn around and walk right out and ask for my money back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't even, you know, and I love babies, fair play.
Yeah, but there's a time and a place.
But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you rock up at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon and go to see a fucking PG movie, you get, you know, that's what you expect.
Kids and infants, but not fucking babies. But
not 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
Not babies that.
And for Ghostbusters.
Don't like the dark.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck? Yeah, bollocks to that.
And come here anyway, have you got around to seeing the new Ghostbusters movie yet?
No.
Del, you have to go and see it.
I will.
It's fabulous. And I mean, you're a big fan of the originals, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
You love it. It's just so good.
Not so much the second one.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. I love both of them.
I watched both of them. I enjoyed both of them.
Yeah, no.
But in my older years, I'm like, the first one was great.
Yeah.
And if first you ignore the second one and go straight to Afterlife.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that, it's fucking
great.
Nah, well, you're not going to like what the new one does then.
Motherfucker.
It very much cements.
Don't go ruining shit on me.
It very much cements Ghostbusters 2 in canon. Oh, that's all I'm going to say. Now, there's not plot wise or anything else. You know, it's nothing to do with it. It just makes references to Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying. I'm just saying I didn't enjoy it as much. Yeah, when I saw Afterlife, I was like, that's the sequel to the first one.
Oh, well, if you love that,
as a standalone movie, really I think the second one was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I watched it.
The only thing I'll say about the new one is the villain's a bit lackluster.
There you go. Fucking give me your opinion.
Sorry, yeah. No, it is.
Jesus Christ. You know what? You're Homer Simpson when he walked out of the Empire Strikes Back and went,
how was that a spoiler?
I can't believe Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker. Yeah,
how was that a spoiler? I just said the villain's a bit lackluster. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I don't want to know. Stop taking.
One of the weaker villains.
You made your son not tell me anything.
No, here I am.
He was fucking tortured. Come and on, you were
dude,
saying,
you've had a month.
You were saying,
go see the fucking movie.
No, you were saying to him, don't say anything. Nothing. And he was frustrated and he wanted to talk about it. And here you go, blowing the whole thing.
All I said was the villain
don't
is lackluster.
Don't say it again.
Jesus.
Fucking
didn't tell you anything about the movie.
Jesus Christ.
Right, come on, move on.
Okay.
How the fuck did we get onto movies,
by
the
way? I have no idea. Same way we got onto. Same way we got onto fucking Kelly Harrington from Hugh Glass last time.
Yeah,
we fucking did.
Love it.
Yeah.
And we just turned into the fucking Collider movie news there for a minute.
There you go. While we're on movies, I also need to watch the Dune movies.
I haven't got around to seeing the second one yet because I need to
two
rewatch.
Two of my students came to me and said, have you seen the new Dune movies? And I was like, no, I haven't seen them yet. It's just, life gets in the way, lads.
Yeah,
I haven't got
time.
And they said,
I believe it's fantastic.
Well, you've got to watch them because he came down on the side of they're just fucking amazing movies and the lore is great and the canon is fantastic. And I came down on, it was an enjoyable movie, but meh.
Yeah,
and they said, so you are the opinion that will clinch it.
Yeah. Now, I'm okay. A bit, like, for me, the Dune movie, now, I haven't seen the second one, I've seen the first one.
Don't like, even ruin that.
No, I'm not. No, not at all.
Okay.
Because I don't even remember much of it. That's what I'm saying.
Good. Okay.
I remember thoroughly enjoying it at the time and not being in any way compelled to watch it again. If you know
are
what
you
I mean.
Talking about the first remake?
Yeah.
I saw the original and
I love the original. That's an old classic of mine. I remember nothing from it. I love it.
Nothing.
I grew up on that movie. Like there was a, around that time there was a real fucking lack of any decent fucking sci-fi movies other than Star Wars, and Dune was the other one, you know? And
yeah, I'd agree with that. Star Trek.
Yeah, but those movies didn't come out well. Yeah, no, they did. Star Trek. Yeah, I was just wasn't a Trekkie
like
back
the
then.
The first Star
now.
Trek was in 79. It which was garbage.
Yeah, it was okay. But all the even number Star Trek movies are good and the odd number ones are shit. It's generally the
Search
rule of thumb.
Spock at the Jordan.
Yeah, which that's probably my favourite one, yeah. Actually. But they say, yeah, fucking Wrath of Khan, The Voyage Home,
Undiscovered Country.
Yeah.
I can't believe Nemesis. I got that right.
Yeah, Undiscovered Country's not a great one either.
It's not bad though. Yeah. I mean, but that was the swan song of they're all too old to come back and do another fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can understand.
And
why.
Do you know why they done the whole Rat the Can killing Spock and then bringing him back in the search for Spock? Do you ever hear the story behind that?
They wrote Melva and there was fucking murder and they kicked up stink.
No, he
fans kicked up fucking stink.
No, it's not quite that. He didn't want to do it. He just didn't want to do Spock anymore. He even wrote a book. He brought out like a. The fourth part of his memoirs, you might call was I Am Not Spock, was the name of his book. And then in later life, when he had, you know, kind of rediscovered his love for Star Trek, when he had come back, he kind of rewrote it and, you know, fucking extended it and called it I Am Spock, which I thought was kind of nice, you know?
Because he came back, wasn't he? And he's in the fucking new movie. Well, he's not in the new movies because the guy's passed away. Rest in peace.
He was in the newer ones though, yes.
But he was in the newer ones and he came back.
Oh, yeah, no, he did. Like, he fell in love with Star Trek again. It was just at that time in 1983, was it? He was just pissed off with it. He was a bit cynical too. He used it. Do you know who directed The Search for Spock?
Wasn't it him?
Yeah. That's how he got the gig.
Yeah.
That was the deal.
Yeah.
I'll come back, but I'm directing.
Yeah,
you know, so that was, you know, he used that as leverage to get that too.
Yeah, well, maybe he was just, it was the technology that was available to create the special effects that didn't kind of win him over. And I don't mean the ship flying through space. I mean the doors opening, the tricorders, all that kind of bollocks.
I'm not even sure it was anything that artistic. I think it was
You know what, have you seen fucking Airplane?
I have.
Airplane 2?
Years ago, yeah. Years ago.
It's great. The doors open and voice activate.
I don't get those dumbed down comedies.
Airplane is the funniest movie ever.
Like, I know, like the autopilot's inflatable and he has a name or something and just, ugh.
I don't remember his name, but yeah, he's
inflatable.
And the
whole, you know, fucking don't call me
Shirley. And he has an inflatable girlfriend.
Yeah.
I thought that was fucking nice. I thought Leslie Nielsen was brilliant.
I can't stand
him. Oh, he's really good.
No. Those Naked Gun movies, the whole, I just can't fucking stand them.
You're weird. You like Red Dwarf.
I know, yeah that's... I mean,
no, I'm not saying that as a comparison. I'm saying you're weird. No, it's not clever comedy. It's ridiculous.
It's clever comedy.
I don't like it at all.
Much cleverer.
Anyway,
go on, move on.
Early Roman armies. The legions or cohorts.
Oh yeah, this is a Believe It or Not episode, isn't it?
There we go. Believe it or not, it's an episode. Yeah,
yeah, I know. Yeah, believe it or not, we do have some more.
It's
facts.
Not believe it or it's believe it or don't.
Sorry, believe
don't,
it or don't.
Don't infringe on copyright.
Oh yeah, shit. I'm pretty sure the copyright's expired on that 70s TV show though.
80s.
Ah, well, whatever.
80s.
But
in early Roman armies, which were they were made up of legions of 5,000. 5,000 plus and cohorts. There were cohorts.
Right.
So that's where fucking cohorts come from.
Okay. So cohorts would
which
have been.
Which don't have much information on.
Well, they would have been kind of two legions that would have worked together.
No, well, legions are 5,000.
So legions are made up of cohorts.
Were 480.
Like a battalion.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So.
Cool.
The Roman armies practiced a thing called decimatio.
Okay, so like decimation. Go on.
It's so decim in Latin is 10.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And it sounds very much like decimation for a fucking reason.
That's okay. What I suspected. Okay. What are we talking? Scorched
legions
earth here,
are cohorts that were found to be guilty of cowardice or running away, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
They were broken up. Say it was a cohort of 480 men. They were broken up into 48 groups of 10.
Right.
And each man in the group of 10 had to pick a straw. And the man who got the shortest straw was hacked to bits by the other 9.
Oh, lovely. So that's where drawing the short straw comes from then?
Most likely.
Fuck.
Thankfully, it's not as barbaric as it was then.
Yeah.
But fucking...
That sucks.
Isn't that mad?
So the Romans were mad.
But, you see, the Romans weren't the only ones to practice it.
What did the Romans ever do for us?
Yeah. With the aqueduct and...
Okay, beside the aqueduct with the roses.
See, that's a stupid film as well, but that's fucking
hilarious. No, Monty Python's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I was only actually seeing a clip there the other day from The Holy Grail, which I've never managed to finish, right? I have to be honest with you. I've watched The Holy Grail a few times, tried to get into it. I love The Life of Brian. I fucking adore The Life of Brian.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Such a good movie. I've tried to get into The Holy Grail and it is a bit ridiculous. You know,
the Holy Grail is great, but the end of it kind of fucking
I couldn't get
flitters away
past kind of 20 minutes.
It's hilarious.
There's a scene anyway where King Arthur kind of fucking rides up to a peasant who's like toiling in the mud, literally just like,
that's the one I'm thinking of.
And he starts going on about the fucking system of government.
I'm the king of the Britons.
Yeah.
You were the Britons.
You were the Britons. Yeah.
So we're the Britons and I'm your king. I didn't elect you. Elect a king.
Yeah.
And how did you get to where you are then?
Yeah. And they go on about the fucking system of
government.
Yeah, when
the lady of the lake thrust Excalibur 4 or something like that.
Some moist fucking bint gave you a sword and now you're fucking king.
Yeah. Look at him oppressing me. Look at him oppressing. Come and see the oppression. And did you look at what the two beggars or paupers are doing?
Yeah, they're just toiling in the mud. They're just picking
they're just
up mud
picking
and
up
dropping
mud and
it again.
Collecting it. Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, toiling in the mud. It's brilliant. But I'm actually going to go watch it because I've seen clips. I mean, that and then it's only a flesh wound, you know?
It's only a flesh wound.
That's genuinely.
Is that
funny.
An Eastern or an African swallow?
No, I haven't seen that. I think
funny.
What finished me is where the. Fucking pretending to be riding horses that
hilarious.
Don't exist.
They
I
hadn't
just don't.
No, he explained that they hadn't got the budget.
Right.
So they got the guy to carry all the gear and
fucking bang coconut
shells together.
Yeah, like what?
That's so brilliant. They couldn't. I mean, what's the next option to not being able to afford horses in your budget?
Is to take the piss out of not.
But is it? To do a pantomime horse and get people inside
God.
Or do you go to the next basement level, the sub-basement, and just start from there? That's fucking hilarious.
Pretend you have
that
horses.
That was
like,
genius.
Yeah, no, it was genius for about 30 seconds.
No,
but when it continued throughout
the
fucking movie, I'm like,
what did you expect?
Enough.
Yeah.
I don't know what I expected.
Yeah.
But I think I will go watch it again because
fucking hilarious.
I do like
Python. It was great.
It petered out towards
the end, and at the end of it, and I've spoken with my friend in England who's a big Monty Python fan. It petered out to nothing for me, and I was kind of like, okay, that's very disappointing. But the movie up to that point, that was fucking hilarious. Mm. Jesus, that whole thing was, and I love
The Life of Brian, though. That's fucking
The Life of Brian is brilliant, and I love The Meaning of Life.
I haven't seen that one either.
The Meaning of Life is fucking hilarious.
I think The Life of Brian is probably the only one I've managed to watch. Isn't there another one, Time Bandits, that was done by Terry Gilliam, who's
ago.
Not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not
but
a Monty Python
that wasn't
movie.
That wasn't Monty Python. But Terry Gilliam's done fucking loads.
I know, but he was one of the Pythons, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I knew there was some connection there.
Time Bandits, which really didn't float my boat.
Yeah, no, apparently it's bad, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean... Go and check
Didn't
it out.
Didn't he do fucking Brazil
anyway,
as well?
We're still on the fucking episode.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Right. So.
This started into a movie podcast this week for some reason. Order, I have no idea why.
Others that use decimation. So.
Oh.
This
sorry,
week.
I thought you were finished with
this week you've had a crack off the fucking Koreans, the Chinese, the Romans. Yeah, just fucking line them up, man. Knock them down. Others that used decimation. The Spartans used it.
Right.
Alexander the Great with the Macedonians.
What was when so great about him, though?
They fucking flattened the Roman Empire.
Mm.
They used it.
Okay.
So they're all to be... He had an army of 6,000. And he's believed to have decimated 10% of that.
Jesus.
So, I mean, they all fucking did it.
So, and 600. Yeah, Jesus.
Fucking
that's
nuts.
That's nuts, man. So that's where the word decimation comes from, yeah?
The Romans used it regularly. Yeah. That's the difference.
Wow.
Apparently.
That's mad.
Yeah, there you go.
That's but mad. But that's
decimation, I guess.
Yeah.
Fucking, we have to do another fucking... Remember you did, that's not... that. Doesn't mean what I think that means.
Or yeah, yeah.
We have to do another one like that. I found don't think that means what you think fucking, it means. I found lots of fucking
did
stuff.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
But then we'll do another one of them then, yeah. Definitely.
And it won't cool. be a case of, let's see what you can get right.
No,
because you will get none of them right.
Yeah.
Because
I did like that when I put you in the hot seat, though. That was that
yeah,
was
I'm
fun.
Sure you did, you fuck.
That was fun. Probably wasn't fun for you, but it was fun for me.
But it's, yeah, it's not going to be a see can you get these right because you fucking won't.
Because
when I read
I'll just bring
them,
an Oxford Dictionary.
When I you that it's not words.
Okay.
It's just the weirdest thing.
Okay, and well, let's do
I was
that,
like,
then.
That's a English language. English
that's
language
a great
is
idea for
weird.
Future episode.
But
then,
yeah, we'll have to come back and do something like that.
Definitely.
But yeah, until then.
That's us.
Have a great fucking day.
And go watch movies.
Yeah, watch lots of movies and fucking get over Star Wars. Jesus Christ. Anyway, listen, have a good
use
one,
the
lads.
Force.